Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you.
And
good to be here.
Looking at what every plan needs, kind of some basic nuts and bolts of a plan that's going to be flexible and work for your family. We started this discussion last time, and you might want to review a little bit of that before we get into some of the divisions and the issues facing married couples.
Yeah, the thought process of having this two-part series is, why do I need a plan that's flexible? Well, I need a flexible plan because I don't know the date and time in the future when I'm going to have a health incident or when I'm going to die. And even though I hope that my family is in a good position, can I guarantee that they're in a good position? So can I guarantee that my spouse is not having health issues? Can I guarantee that my children are not having health issues? That one of my girls is going through a divorce at the time that they're set to inherit? That they're not having creditors because they lost their job? Or what if they lost their job and they need income and I'm the one who assists them and or help them during a financial need? So the difficulty about estate planning is that we're trying to create a document that is flexible enough to meet an unknown date in the future, because I don't know when I'm going to be disabled and I don't know when I'm going to die, for unknown circumstances, because I don't know how the people that I love, the position that they're going to be in, and what type of help they may need, and how they're going to respond to my disability or my death. So therefore, estate planning is a little bit of balls in the air sometimes. It's a little bit of a juggling match. But the bottom line is that we need a plan that's going to be flexible to meet these unknown circumstances at an unknown time. And it can only happen by having deeper dive questions, good counseling, make sure that we uncover and lift the lid off of some of these different boxes that we just don't like to talk about. Mm. We really don't like to talk about being disabled, right? It's a lot of fun to think that I'm stuck in bed. I can't get out and use the bathroom. I can't dress myself. I can't shower myself. We don't want to talk about it. I get it. But unfortunately, 75% of individuals who are 65 or older are going to have at least one health incident that is going to require that someone else stand next to them. Mm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there's a 100% chance rate that we're going to die. I don't have that statistic in front of me, but I think that might be close.
Very few of us just get to pass away asleep in our bed some night.
Yeah.
No incidents up till then.
Yeah. So we need to do really good planning. And that's what last show was about, was we looked at what happens or what should a plan have to make sure that the plan is as flexible as possible. If I have a health incident, care for me, but also care for those that I love. Don't cut off that. Don't cut off support to a church or to a missionary. Don't cut off my kids just because the document was done. It's a rudimentary document. So people are shocked when they come into the office and we ask the questions that we ask. Say, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was this involved. Mm. It needs to be involved. And if you get a document that is a template, if you get a document off the internet, I guess it might be better than nothing, but it's not going to make – it's not going to create the flexibility that we need to make sure that everyone that you love and care about is going to be taken care of. And that's what I want to make sure happens. We want to make sure we have a flexible document during your lifetime that can be changed. And then if you should pass away – how do we care for the people that we've left behind?
Okay, well, let's dive into that a little bit more. Then obviously for people who are married, this opens up a whole can of worms.
Yeah, it really does.
What options exist for a married person after the first spouse dies or has a health incident? How is that spouse taken care of? How is that spouse assisted?
Yeah, so if we use – let's start with some basic thought process, which is most individuals would say, well, my spouse just gets it all. I'm just going to give everything to him or her. Okay, fine. Understand the thought process. But there's a lot of other considerations. Number one, what are the taxing implications if we use that method? So if we don't use a revocable living trust and we use a will and we simply name our spouse as a beneficiary, what are the tax implications? Some of them could be kind of status quo. If I have an IRA, a retirement asset, and I name my spouse, they are going to get that IRA. Well, what happens with the IRA? It's going to be taken over by them. It's called a spousal rollover, and they're going to use that money in the same way that I would have. It would become their asset. Not really big tax implications, but what if you had a taxable estate? Mm. What if when she passes away, that all of a sudden just giving her the assets was the wrong choice because now we have to pay an unknown or estate tax. So sometimes and oftentimes, specifically in Washington where we have a state estate tax, we need to make sure we have the right planning created to ensure that not only is a surviving spouse, well taken care of, having as much control as possible is usually what people want to do. Not always, but oftentimes making sure that they're well taken care of and that we also solve the tax issues simultaneously. That can be done. So having your spouse just take over everything may or may not be the right solution. Mm. It actually could be. Mm. I'm not opposed to that. Fine. But I am opposed just to making a knee-jerk reaction because, well, that was easy or that was cheap. So we need to have a full discussion of what are the tax ramifications for each asset and for the estate as a whole in order to create the proper plan to be as flexible as possible for the surviving spouse. So when one spouse dies, if we use a revocable living trust, then in community property, we start with one together trust. And that's nice. In other states, they actually have trusts for each spouse. Well, we get one trust. And that kind of blends with how most people manage their finances. Not every couple, but a majority of couples that I see, a higher percentage, actually run their assets together. Their names are on all the bank accounts. Their name are on the home that they live in together. Some spouses, if they get married, remarried, or one of them gets married later and they've managed their own assets, sometimes they do keep things separate, even though they would look at you and go, well, we consider it all ours anyway, but for circumstances, they manage their own money. Okay, fine. So we would have to look at that. How do we plan around separate property in a community property state? Do we want to bring it all into community property? Or does one spouse really have the thought process, this is my money, these are my funds, or I've inherited these funds and I want to keep them separate from the marital unit? Fine. All of that is possible, but we have to create a plan that is still flexible to meet the surviving spouse's needs. So what if I had inherited a reasonable sum of money, but my wife did not? And then I die first, but I considered my inheritance my separate property. So now what? How do I keep it separate, but yet still care for my spouse who survives me to ensure that they have all the finances and financial stability and can still do things that they want? Maybe I would say, I would love for my spouse to have all the income, but I don't want her to just start taking the funds and going on cruises and buying fancy bling bling and everything. So maybe I would have some thought processes of having some limitations to what she can or cannot access, because maybe it was my parents' desire that, Paul, if you don't use the money, make sure it gets to the grandkids. But they gave me enough flexibility to say, but you can take care of Mariana. Okay, well, then maybe I'm honoring where the money came from by some of these things. So, or maybe I just simply say, I just separated it, but really it's ours together. All of these things greatly matter when you put together a plan. Mm. How are we treating our finances, and what is the vision that we have for a surviving spouse? How do we take care of them in the best possible way? And how do we make it as flexible as possible? How much control do you want to give a surviving spouse? Do you want to give unlimited control? Well, maybe a will is an okay thing. Maybe we just give everything to a spouse, forget taxes. Okay, well, I don't think that that's a great decision. I think that's kind of silly to pay unnecessary taxes, but fine, pay unnecessary taxes. So,
yeah,
so giving full control may or may not be the right result.
For me, as a person, I know, and maybe it speaks for what other people are into, I'm not into trying to control a lot of things beyond the grave. That's not my goal, but I am concerned about, like you mentioned there, taxes.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay a bunch of taxes that are unnecessary. So
right.
That would be what I'm really looking for this plan to accomplish, is as
sure.
few taxes as possible, not necessarily controlling how everybody spends money, but taxes.
Right. And so specifically in blended families. So if there are kind of two family groups, even though you do the best you can to bring them in as one family unit, unless that happened at a very young age, unfortunately, there is still this separation of the different families. And so how does that get managed? So great, Mark, you don't want to control the ultimate beneficiary, but what if your heart's desire was, I want to make sure that these couple people receive something after my wife dies? So you've passed away first. So what if your wife had full, absolute, complete control? Great. You trust her. You believe she's going to honor that request. But now she legally doesn't have to. So what if she changed beneficiaries because as she aged, she was manipulated by somebody because she had other voices in her life, because someone else came in and cared for her. So she's going to give a bulk of it to the caregiver. Ooh, ever seen that happen?
Boy, that
goodness
does
gracious.
I'm surprised how often that happens.
It's craziness. So if we give full, absolute, complete control to a surviving spouse, fine, I understand. And I do trust my wife. But is there an opportunity that I am forfeiting the vision that I have of supporting these groups or supporting these type of people or supporting them in the way that I want? Mm. And the answer is, if I give it all away, then yes, then my wife is in complete control. That might be the perfect decision, and it just might not be. So we have to have these deeper conversations, specifically in blended families, or if you don't have children, these things come up more often because people have very specific desires. Well, I want to make sure that my kids get something. Well, I want to make sure that my kids. Okay, well, great. Then I just can't give everything to a surviving spouse. Mm. We have to develop a plan that ensures that the vision that you have together is going to be carried out properly. And so, but yet, simultaneously, ensure the care and flexibility for a surviving spouse all at the same time. Is it possible? It is absolutely possible. Just got to have a deeper conversation.
That deeper conversation about what every plan needs. You like the way Paul thinks about the subject of estate planning? You want to find out more about his services? How do people do that, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at what every plan needs, some things maybe to think about as you design that will, or hopefully more a trust is what Paul thinks is much more useful and flexible.
And flexible, yeah.
And flexible.
And that's kind of the word of the program, right?
Yeah. Flexibility. And yeah. What about the flexibility we need as maybe we've passed away and we leave a spouse, and that spouse wants to now remarry? They said they weren't going to do that, but
yeah.
Things change.
Yeah, yeah. So I love taking internal discussions with clients. I have statistics on it. They were done about 5 years ago by a life insurance company, a very trusted one. So men get remarried in blank amount of time. So I think we've covered this before, Mark, right? So
within a year, right?
Well, it's a little longer than that. So have some faith in mankind and in the men group out there. So it is approximately 2 years on average. And why? Well, because we can't take care of ourselves and we're helpless. So we have to have somebody babysit us. So we need help. And all the ladies out there going, no kidding. So great. So men, you get remarried in about 2 years after you lose your spouse. I'm not talking on a hiking trip. I'm talking that she died. So now what happens? So we got Susie Q coming into the picture. Wives out there, if you were the first to die, how much do you want going to the next spouse? Yeah, everyone has the same exact answer. It might bring me back to choke somebody. So no. Don't want anything going there. And yet we've all seen, even in our own family sometimes, of this exact thing happening. Someone loses their spouse, they get lonely, they get remarried, and then they don't do good estate planning. Guess what? Now we got the second spouse. I can tell you story after story of the kids of this first marriage getting nothing because the second spouse grabs it all and nothing comes to the family. Would have that been the intent of everybody? Look, if that's the intent, great. I can make a plan to make sure that we give ultimate flexibility. But when we don't do good planning, when we use wills and beneficiary designations or transfer on death deeds and everything else, then we're entrusting our spouse. It's a good thing to trust your spouse, but can we also use wisdom simultaneously? Can we also develop a really good plan to protect against the unknowns? Oh, my spouse said that he or she will never get remarried. I know. Until life marches on and all of a sudden they're lonelier than they thought. Or they move into a step-by-step care unit where there's a lot of single individuals who are their same age and they have conversations and all of a sudden they're getting remarried, okay? So it happens. Does it happen all the time? Nope. Ladies, you have a statistic too. A surviving spouse, wife, takes 7 years statistically before they consider remarriage. Why? Well, because you couldn't train the first one very well, so why try it again? So there is a statistic there. Yes, ladies, you might even get remarried. Does the plan cover remarriage? Most plans that I look at, I don't want to say that I've never seen one because I can't recall that perfectly. But if there's been a couple, I'd be shocked that most plans do not address this issue of my spouse gets remarried. What happens to the estate? Because one of you has died and I can't get your voice anymore. The only voice you have is the document that we created that creates care for your spouse and care for your family and dispositions as you see the vision. That's the last testament that we got.
And the main reason would be, I guess, if there were kids involved. Right? So what if people had no kids?
Yeah.
Then why do you care what your spouse goes on to do with their life?
I don't know. Because people have strong desires. Because I have siblings to take care of. Because I have nieces and nephews. Because there's a thought process that some of what we have earned together is still mine. And I want to get it to this side of the family. Or I inherited some of that money. And I want that money as a family value to get to the certain people. Or you have legacy items. I want to make sure that this gets to the right people. If they are not, if they don't get put into the right hands, then we've lost your voice. Mm. And so, fine, I understand the question. And it comes from a place of maybe your perception, which is, I don't care that much, Paul. I'm gone. I'm happy. I'm hanging out with Jesus. This is all fine with me. What do I care? Well, fine. But there are others, as you well know, that have a stronger desire. And we need to create a plan that ensures protection of that, ensures that somebody can't come in and manipulate my spouse. Or even if they're not manipulating, just that, is that what the vision that I have? Do I envision another person getting something instead of my daughters or my family or my nieces and nephews or the people that I love.
If you have kids, extended family that you were caring about, then I can understand that concern.
Yeah. So that is a concern with marriage, which is I die, my wife gets remarried. What do I want to protect? Some of you out there may go, I don't care. Okay, fine. I get it. It's totally fine. Then what do we care about? What do we want to protect? How do we protect against the taxes? How do we make sure that the right people are well taken care of during your life? So again, last show I mentioned that my daughters, I love to still help them. I'm able to assist them financially occasionally. Would I want that to continue? So are there people that I support in my life that if I were to pass away, that I would want to make sure that there are some provisions for them? What if my health is not, what if my wife's health is not doing great at the time that I die?
Yeah. There's already problems.
What if someone else is already managing the money when I die? Mm-hmm. So great. I trust my wife and I actually give her full power and control. Even so much power, it's called a power of appointment. I allow her to appoint any part of our estate in any way that she sees fit. So she could disinherit one of the girls. That's how much power she has. So I protect it against the taxes, but now I give my wife all power to do whatever she sees fit down the road because I don't know if she's going to be alive for 2 years or for another 10, 15, or 20 years. I don't know the gap in between it all. And there's another problem. What if my wife were to live for 15 or 20 years? Is the plan that I've created flexible enough to manage that long term? Now, most marriages I see, one person does a majority of the financial planning in the marriage. Sometimes both do. Sometimes there's conversations and both are equally participating. That's not the most common scenario. Mm. So what if you are the planner? What if you're the one with the financial relationships? What if you're the one that manages the money, pays all the bills, knows where everything is, and now your spouse does not? So do we have the right people to come alongside of your spouse to take over what I call the empty chair, which is you had a skill set. You manage certain things, but now you're gone, the chair is empty, and your spouse doesn't have the same skill set. So would it be wise to set up a plan to ensure financial success if that's what your spouse has never done? And by the way, I've seen the wife manage the money. I've seen the husband manage. It doesn't matter. It's just that typically one person manages it, and the other would be completely lost. You know how many clients have come to me and say, man, if my spouse dies, I'm in trouble.
Right.
I got no clue.
Right.
That's okay. I can help.
Right.
I know how to assist. And I know that the plan is flexible enough to meet that need because I've created it flexible. So therefore, it's not just about taxes. It's not just about the fear of getting remarried. And so I don't mean to throw a fear issue out there for planning, but it also could be just simple practical wisdom, which is, well, my spouse doesn't know anything about the finances. Not that they're dumb, not that they can't learn, but is that when they want to learn? Right after their spouse dies.
Right.
Or do we want a plan that brings financial, it brings tax, and it brings emotional security, all of those things together in a strong, good plan? It's all possible to take care of each other well and yet address these issues, let alone if you're a business owner, let alone if you're in a blended family, then these things just got more complicated, and you really need to sit down and have a strong discussion about things that matter to you.
What every plan needs. You like the way Paul thinks about estate planning? You want help from his firm? How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, you can find information at our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.